I'm so thankful tonight to be here and to meet all my friends, many I haven't seen for years. And Jesus has blessed us in these days, and it's wonderful to have friends in Jesus. I've done most of speaking like this in Chinese, so if my English is sometimes a little simple, you'll have to excuse me. My brother-in-law teased me when I came. We used to be over in Taiwan 4 years before we came on furlough, and sometimes 5 years, and he'd said, "Everything about you is like the Chinese." He said, "Even your accent." He thought I was saying words different. So that's what happens to you. But I'm so thankful for Jesus. I'm so thankful for, it's 49 years ago, on Labor Day weekend, Uncle Hans prayed for me here. Those prayers went into my soul. Everybody knows I was very shy. But there was like steel put into my back, into my spine, the way he prayed for me. I never forget it. And he was such a blessing. I went to Taiwan in September 1967 on Brother Gordon's birthday. I arrived in Taiwan. He was a great blessing to me, Brother Gordon and Sister Caroline. And being a missionary, there is much, they influenced my life that way. Other ministers too, we thank God. And then 2 months later, Uncle Hans came to Taiwan. It was November 17th, 1967. He came, and Jack Chow was invited. We didn't know Jack Chow before then. He was invited from Hong Kong. He was a reporter, like in the reporting business. And he interpreted for Brother Hans Walfel. And he was, can you say, hooked. As when he heard, he was already Pentecostal, but when he heard that Pentecost brings us to Jesus and his presence, that was it. And look at his life, how God has, he was. And another one at that time was Myrtle Taylor. Vita comes from the same church in England as Myrtle Taylor. You've heard of Myrtle Taylor in Taiwan many years. She came the same year that I did, but she was from a Pentecostal church in England. But when she met Brother Hans Walfel, we always called him Uncle Hans, she said, "This is what I want." She had Pentecost, but now she knew it was Jesus. And there's a difference. Some people want the gifts. Some people want the power. But it's Jesus that we want. And I was privileged to be born into this fellowship, only 2 or 3 blocks away from the Ridgewood Church now. In those days, it was Seneca Avenue. And from a child, there were many German people. We were many German. Now we are only the children or the grandchildren that are left. And my parents, that's where my mother found Jesus. She came from a Christian family, but she knew there was something missing, just like Sister Pearl Young. And that thing that was missing is not a thing. It was the presence of Jesus. And it only comes through the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so my mother saw it. She was invited to the meetings in Ridgewood. And she came to the meetings, and she didn't understand why they praised the Lord or spoke in tongues, but she knew Jesus was there. There was something in those days. People were just drawn. My best friend at that time was Elsie Shilley. We came up here to camp all the time. And her father was just drawn to that church, walking on the street, and God drew him. It was the presence of Jesus. And when my mother experienced the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that satisfaction, that joy that came into her heart from the presence of Jesus, that's what she wanted, the kingdom of God within us. And so my story began. I was a child, and Elsie Shilley and I, we were good friends. She became my sister-in-law, my brother's wife. And we could just look at each other and we'd laugh. and we still laugh. We phone each other, and she's my good friend. But we've come up here, and we love the swimming. And there's a picture, I think, on the internet where I'm holding a bullfrog in my hand, and it was dead. And we thought that was good, and she did it too. And that's how we were children. But one time after that, my sister took care of me coming up here at camp. I was in the cottage also. But another time, I was 10 years old. I saw Anna Schreck this time, and I remember I was such good friends with her. And I felt like I was, the other day, yesterday, I felt like I was 10 years old again in my heart. And there's such joy to be here in this place. And my sister was taking me to camp on the bus. In those days, the bus took all night long. And we went over all the bumps. We sat in the last seat. But before we got on the bus, as my mother said goodbye to me at the door, my mother had a way about her. She was quiet. But when she spoke, her words went right into your heart. And you know what she said to me? She said to me at the door, "It's about time you were filled with the Holy Spirit." I was 10 years old. She said, "You'll be 11 on your birthday at camp, and it's about time you're filled with the Holy Spirit." She said, "Your sister, my sister Ruth, was filled with the Spirit when she was only 9 years old." And she said, and I was so ashamed of myself. Those words, she said, "You go to camp to seek Jesus." So I came up here, and that was in my mind. I thought the first night, I guess I was tired. We went on that bus. I thought if you could stay up all night, that was real good. I thought sleeping was a waste of time. And I thought there was so much to do, you didn't want to sleep. And then we got here the first night, I was tired. But the next night, I saw Jesus right here where Sister Nora is sitting. And it was my birthday, my 11th birthday. And I said, "Jesus, you did it for Anna Schreck. She was filled already with the Holy Spirit. I'm the same age, so you can do it for me too." But that night, no. Didn't come. The next night, I came again. I said, "Lord, it's the same thing tonight. You're able to fill me with the Holy Spirit." And that night he came in a quiet way. But he came and filled me. When the Lord fills us with the Holy Spirit, there's a breakthrough. In Chinese, we say a tupo into our, and there's a breakthrough. Jesus has opened that veil into the Holy of Holies, and there's a breakthrough where our souls can come into that Holy of Holies. And that's what I experienced. I don't want to make a long story, but I experienced Jesus coming to me. The Word became real to me. I remember we in Taiwan, we have praise cards. Martha Robinson, that's her. And we have the praise that she, and also from Brother Hans Waffle, it's in Chinese and English on both sides. And then we have also the waiting on God cards that we're acquainted of, waiting on God from the ministers we have known. And that time when I talked to my sister-in-law, Elsie, we remember we were in the palace. Oh, we loved it up here. And the palace was so wonderful, the different groups we were in. And after swimming was important to us. But afterwards, I would go down to that rock. I can show you where it was. I'd sit there. And I just wanted to be alone with Jesus. I didn't know that's called waiting on God. Jesus taught me that. And that was waiting on God, being quiet. I said to Jesus, "Don't let anybody come just now. I want to be alone with you." And that Jesus did that here. I didn't do it. He did that. And he's doing that, and he's doing a marvelous work in these days all over the world. He's doing things. Every time we listen to Uncle Hans, we knew he loved us. But he talked about that love of Jesus. You always were spurred to know Jesus and to love Jesus and run after Jesus. We knew those words, draw me, I will run after you. That book became real to me, the Song of Solomon. Uncle Hans said to read that book. Every Christian should read that book. It's about the lovership with Jesus. At least once a month, we should read that book. I read it as a child, 11 years old. I read Revelation. I loved Revelation because I always thought at the end, you're on the right side and you're on the winning side. And then I was a sick child. I often had bronchitis, very bad. And my mother would read to me those stories of the saints, the lives of the saints, that's in the Gerhard Ter Stegen, the German books. And she'd tell me of those that sought for Jesus and wanted him. And that spurred my heart. There's so many things to speak about his life and influencing us. And he influenced the Chinese in Taiwan. He influenced so many people. You see how he brought the Schreck family and the Baumgartners over here. He had that ministry in Germany and also here at camp. This was because of Uncle Hans and his life, and I thank God for that precious life. I thank God for the gardeners. Their lives influenced me greatly, their teaching. And then it was Pearl Young, Brother Edwin. He came to Taiwan. I had to be his interpreter. So I let the words go in, and the Chinese comes. It was like a machine, you know. And I interpreted him for many years, also for Brother Eddie and others. Dr. Gray came to Taiwan also. And Sister Elizabeth Lindau was here many years ago in the cottage and worked for Jesus. And her life was a great influence over there, too. But Sister Pearl, just want to say briefly, she was born in Nova Scotia and a Scottish Presbyterian background. And they didn't know about praising the Lord. They were good Christians. Many of her ancestors or relatives had been missionaries in Japan or India, I think. I don't know about China. And when she was 5 years old, her mother said, "Will you be a missionary?" And she said, "Yes, Mother, I'll be a missionary." And she was true to that. She was born in 1904 and 30 many years older than me, and at that in that generation, to be a college graduate, she wanted to be in the medical field, but then that didn't work out. And then she was also at the Nyack Missionary College, and she also worked in the either Kentucky or Tennessee in the mountains there with those people that were not well educated, and brought Jesus to them. She was such a good Christian. She was such a good Bible student. She was such a good praying person. She went then to China in the such a good organization, the Ni Tuosheng, I can say it better in Chinese, China Inland Mission. And she did her best. And everyone loved her. She was a good missionary. But she always felt there's something more. She wasn't satisfied. There's something more. What is that something more? In those days, it was not well known to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to have that walk with Jesus, to come into his presence. She had something, but it wasn't the full thing. And so she prayed a prayer. All her life she prayed, "Lord, increase that hunger and thirst for yourself." And I try to pray that all the time, to increase that hunger and thirst for yourself. I went on many missionary trips with her. First of all, through Taiwan. Brother Yu from Maryland, Pastor Yu, we went to his home. We knew all the family. Sister Pearl loved his mother's cooking. That was in Tainan, in Taiwan. But getting back to Sister Pearl back in China, then she was in a concentration camp 3.5 years. She was almost buried alive by the communists. Short of, this is 10 in Chinese, 10 minutes short of being buried alive in China. But she met someone that told her about the baptism, and that made her hungry, and she wanted to seek more. And then she had to come home to this country and go back to Canada, and she met someone who told her, you can go to the Ridgewood Church in Brooklyn, and that's where you'll find about the baptism. So she went. She was very obedient. Older then later on, when Uncle Hans, whatever Uncle Hans told her, she did. She obeyed. But then she came to Ridgewood, and she started to seek the Lord. And the Lord came to her. I remember I was just a child at the time, and we saw her, and she gave you this impression, a very quiet person. But we children, we were fascinated because someone was coming from China. And then she saw Jesus, and he came to her. And when he came to her that night in the Ridgewood Fellowship, in the Ridgewood Church that we're in now, not Seneca Avenue, he came to her and filled her with the Holy Spirit. She did not speak in tongues, but she knew that Jesus filled her with the Holy Spirit. And she lived in the faith home at that time. And the next day she went, she didn't want, Jesus became so real to her. His presence became so real to her that she wanted to be so careful not to lose his presence. So someone wanted to take her on a walk, a simple thing. She wouldn't go unless she felt Jesus wanted. She was very, very careful with every little thing. And as she waited on the Lord at home, the Lord also gave her the speaking in tongues. She had a very precious speaking in tongues, and the Lord used her many times to give messages in the meetings. And Uncle Hans told me when I went there to Taiwan, he said, everything she tells you, you do, you obey. And I endeavored to do that. I won't go into detail. But he said she's a great vessel, and she received her training, even though she had all that training before, in such good background. She received training here from the gardeners, from other ministers, and in Ridgewood, the Lord did something for her. In 1954, she went to Taiwan. She couldn't go back to China. She went to Taiwan with Elizabeth Lindau. And she went with, she had a huge tumor, and she appeared as if she was expecting a child. But the Lord healed her. The Lord told her when she got to Taiwan, if you believe me, I can work. If you stop believing me, I can't work. And so she chose to believe the Lord, and the Lord took that completely away. And Brother Gordon told her, you want to believe that your later years in life will be more fruitful than your earlier years. And after she was 70, that came true. There were many, many young people that came. There are 25 churches in Taiwan, and many young people gave their lives to serve the Lord. Some are in Vancouver, in California, different places, and her influence spread that way, all over, because she wanted people to find Jesus the way she had found him. That was her one passion in life, and that's our passion. We want people to find Jesus, not only being being saved and not only having a baptism in water, but having a real baptism in the Holy Spirit. The lives are changed. Nothing in this world can satisfy you. If you've really tasted that joy and that peace and that love that comes from Jesus, and he makes us so happy. I think I'm happier now than when I was 10 years old. I love that verse, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of you. It becomes real to you. There's nothing else in this world worth living for. We're put in this world, first of all, to glorify God, and then also to enjoy him. And the enjoyment of Jesus' presence, he's going to help us to glorify his name. And I just want to briefly mention some other things. And Monday mornings, I meet with the ministers. I'm a minister too, lady one. And Brother Eddie has been such a blessing to us. He's come to Taiwan, and we love his wife, Susan. She's a real example. I call her the saint. She really is a saint. I hear her praising the Lord, even after what she's gone through this year. We still miss Brother Eddie. We'll miss him forever. But she praises the Lord. You can hear her on the other side of church. She's been such a blessing, such an inspiration. And others, too. My brother-in-law, Bob Callis, and my sister, they came to Taiwan. And Uncle Hans, this is what he said to me 49 years ago. There are other words, but he said, never get to think you are important. Always think that Jesus is important and that the one great lesson is to abide in him. And no matter how many people, no matter how many calls come to you, always you be one that learns this lesson. And there is the Psalm 91, the secret place of the Most High God, and all its provisions are for you. And then a number of years ago, Sister Pearl asked me to translate from the German into the English. Some of Gerhard, we have some of his songs. We have that German song in Chinese, Ich bete an die Macht der Liebe, that has brought such blessing. And other songs too. The song I heard just before the meeting that we're going to hear. Sister Pearl, the last year of her life, she wanted us to translate that into Chinese, and we did. And she wanted to send it to Brother Gordon, but he went to heaven before he heard it. Maybe he'll hear it up there. And that was a blessing. Then she wanted me to translate some words from Gerhard Terstegen, and then we would translate it, put it in English, and then into Chinese. And I was studying it. One day I came to her. We were at a different place. And Gerhard Terstegen said, there are three manifestations of the presence of God. The first, God is all over. He's all present, all knowing. He's omnipotent. And many people know this, even people that are not Christians, and they're just satisfied with that. Then there's the presence, Ta Andian De Tong Zai in Chinese, his presence of grace. And that presence of grace, we've all experienced it. He heals us. He helps us. He gets young people into the right school, or helps them to marry the right person and gives them a good job. This is all his grace, the grace of his presence, his blessings. But there's the third blessing of his presence, and that's the manifestation of Jesus. And that's in Colossians. It's told us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. When he comes in through the baptism, it's different. It's different. There's a fire burning, and that wants to continue every day. So I'm thankful for that. And then also we've heard many years, you know all these things, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is an advanced step in the knowledge of God, whereby Jesus is made real to the soul. And that was her passion in Taiwan and wherever she went. I went with her all over Taiwan at first, slept in all kinds of beds. I could tell many, many stories. Then we went to the Philippines, and Sister Pearl liked those jeepneys. And I said, maybe I should buy you one. We'll take it to Taiwan. She liked that. But I remember coming home from a furlough once. I had to meet her in the Philippines. At the airport, she didn't even say to me, oh, how was your flight? She took my bag. She said, oh, you should see what the Lord's doing. And the Lord's opening doors. And people are enthused about having the presence of Jesus. She was all 100% in that. And her life was a great blessing. We slept in the same room together. Then we went to Hong Kong. Hong Kong has a star ferry, and she'd always ask me, what's the name of the ferry today? One day it was the Morning Star. Oh, that made her happy, because that's the name of Jesus, the Morning Star. And now if she were living today, she went to heaven when she was 82, if she were living today, she would be thrilled what God is doing all over the world, and especially among the Chinese people. We've been privileged learning all these truths. I've been privileged. I believe I was born just to go to Taiwan and China, to be with the Chinese people. And I count it a great privilege, because it's not only serving them, but seeking the Lord together with these people, these precious, precious Chinese people. I love them with all my heart, and I've seen how diligent they are. I've met young people. I've met a woman. She got the prize from Italy, number 10. There's only 10 people that have gotten that prize, playing the violin. She was up at 4 o'clock in the morning studying the violin and put her whole heart. When she found Jesus, she thought, maybe I have to lay down the violin. But you know what she did? 4 o'clock in the morning, she started memorizing the Bible. She memorized the whole New Testament. I don't have such a memory. And when we met her, she was doing the Psalms. Tremendous what she could memorize. I've seen the diligence in these dear Chinese people. The Bible speaks of many will be coming. And the doors, I've seen when I was in Taiwan, most of our people at that time were from mainland China, and in our Gozuko church, they had come from mainland China in 1949. And then when the door... At that time, you were not allowed to have any connection with China. But as soon as the door started open, they'd go back, and they'd want to tell their relatives. Some of them came back, tears, weeping. But to think that door is open, we prayed. They prayed many years in our prayer meeting. They'd pray, Lord, have mercy on our Tongbaomen, our fellow patriots over in China. God has answered that prayer. God has wonderfully answered. I've been privileged. It's not because of me, but it's because of Jesus and what he wants to do. And she said, there are many coming. Haggai, in Haggai, the book of Haggai, it says they're coming, the Genbao. In the English, it says the desire of all nations. In the Chinese, it says he's going to draw the jewels. And these people are jewels. I've been to China many times. The Lord has opened that door. I didn't seek that. The Lord did that, arranged that. And I've been to Zhuhai. I've been to Hong Kong. I've been to Beijing. I didn't want to go on any trips, but they took me anyhow on these trips. And spoke to the international church there. And recently, in the last 2 years, I've been to Huai'an in Jiangsu province. I had to lead 8 meetings, 6,000 people. What could I do? Those ministers, they can all preach. They're eloquent. They can preach an hour long, and terrific sermons. They love the Lord, these Chinese ministers, the state church, the government church. They invite me. They don't invite Americans usually, but I guess they consider me more Chinese than American. I don't know. Anyhow, I've been in Taiwan almost 50 years now. I go back every year four times because Sister Pearl said, keep them seeking after Jesus. Remind them. Remind them we have a winter camp and a summer camp conference. But there in China, you see these people, numbers of people. It touches you. It touches you to think they didn't have the privilege I had from childhood to know Jesus, to seek Jesus. We've had such a privilege, and God is working mightily all over. And I was there again this year, and the top in Nanjing, I was in Nanjing, there's a state seminary there where the ministers are trained, and we know that one of the top men, he takes us in his limousine. Why did Jesus do this? I'm not an eloquent person. Why did he do it? He wants them to come in to his presence. He wants them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And God has opened these doors, and I want to be faithful to him. And Brother Ernie, years ago, my brother-in-law, Bob Callis, asked you to go in his place, right, to the California. Bob Callis, Brother Bob Callis. And all the Chinese that you've met, and just about all of them that have come to this pilgrim camp, you can say it's because of Sister Pearl. And then you take it down a step, it's because of Uncle Hans. And we're privileged people. No matter where we've come, there are many good Christians all over the world, but they haven't found that inner, the Holy of Holies with Jesus. And Jesus is stretching forth his hand. He's doing it. I don't want to take too much time anymore. I took too much already. I'm sorry. But you notice sometimes there's a quietness that comes. All of a sudden, it's experienced here at camp, the young people. That's Jesus. He's coming in every meeting, drawing our hearts, and may he continue to do that work.
Hallelujah.
Oh, praise God.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And I want you to shine for me. I want you, wherever you go, to have my presence with you, to obey my commandments, because I want to continue to fill this earth with my glory.